We're doing Tehillim. We're having a special class on the 47th chapter of Tehillim, which is, thank you, which is Lamnatzeach. Welcome back. Wow. Lamnatzeach Livnei Korach Mizmor. The following song that the descendants of Korach composed. This song is about a future time when the nations will recognize that Hashem is king. So I like to tell the story when I got a phone call from Rabbi Dinkevich that there's this girl that wants to find a shidduch. She wants to get married. She's in the conversion program in Machon Ora. And yeah. And she's, her family live in Gaza. Her family are members of the Hamas. And she came to convert to Judaism. And she's a big tzaddik. Her family wants her dead. No, she's a married woman today. But I get a phone call, and on the other end of the line is a very thick Arabic accent. And the whole conversation, I'm interviewing her, and I keep telling myself she's a tzaddik. She's done nothing wrong. But you hear this thick Arab accent on the other end of the line. You have to keep reminding yourself, this person doesn't want me dead. So I ended the phone conversation with her. I was super frustrated with myself because I said, why couldn't I overcome my bias? And I sat there for a long time after I hung up the phone telling myself, this is just not right. There's absolutely nothing wrong with this person. And I couldn't connect to it. I kept telling myself, you have to help her as much as possible. And I felt my emotions were not there. And it's a battle between your logic and your emotions. So in the end, I said to myself, you know, on Rosh Hashanah, we say, V'yeda kol fa'ul ki ata fa'alto. We ask Hashem, we want the whole world to know that you're the one in charge, that you're pulling the strings in this world. What are we davening for on Yom Kippur? We say we want the whole world to recognize that Hashem is king. Yes, on Rosh Hashanah, we as a Jewish people declare Hashem, it's the beginning of the year, we declare you as king. But we're also saying that we have no goal that the whole world fall by the wayside. On the contrary, we want the world to recognize it too. And so before we blow shofar, and in the blowing of the shofar, there is this element that we're recognizing Hashem as king. So we say this psalm. This is an ancient custom quoted in Masechet Sofrim. We read it 7 times. Before we start blowing the shofar, we read this 7 times. And tonight we're going to read it and try to understand it. And the psalm is about our hope, our anticipation that the nations will recognize that Hashem is the one in charge of the world. It's worth noting the psalms that were specifically composed by the descendants of Korach. The descendants, Korach's children, who witnessed their father's downfall when he challenged the veracity of the Torah. So they repeatedly speak about a future time that will be better. But if you notice, the psalms that are composed by his children are always looking to the future, to a time where the world will be a better place. Lamnatzeach livnei Korach mizmo. The conductor was given the following song from the children of Korach. Kol ha'amim tiku chaf. Step 1. We expect the nations to unite. Kol ha'amim, all nations of the world, tik'u chaf, shake hands with one another, clasp one another's hands. Today we live in a time where nations are warring with one another. Well, the first thing we want is a time that nations will unite with one another. Why is there war? Well, one of the reasons is because they don't trust one another. So I have to make sure to beat the other guy, because who knows what he'll do to me if he'll beat me. The other reason is because everyone wants to control more. Imperialism. Let me have more land. Let me have more power. So in the future, the sons of Korach say we anticipate a time where there will be world peace, where there will cease to be war. Why? Because the nations will recognize that they're not the powerful ones. The recognition that Hashem is King should bring people to sing together and to unite. How often do people fight one another in the name of religion? How often are people willing to kill one another in the name of religion? And so, in this psalm, the sons of Korach say, we anticipate that you will unite, and Hariu, you will blow that shofar lelokim, in honor of Hashem. They would ordinarily blow their trumpets when appointing a new king, so here you will blow it in honor of Hashem being king. Bekol rina, in a song that you're uniting in song, which is a way of saying that we don't have to be separate nations anymore. There will be this great unity in the world. Ki Adonai Elyon Nora, because Hashem is above everything and He is awesome. So today you have people who say Hashem is awesome. There's a creator way beyond our world. There's nothing to do with us. Any connection between the human and God is too far-fetched. So people will say, we can't accept this concept that the first cause has any connection with mankind. There is a first cause. There is a starting point. Today, science knows it because they can see the echoes of the Big Bang, which is a turning point in science that suddenly science has to acknowledge. There is a point that's the beginning of the universe, something which initially, until not so long ago, scientists wouldn't acknowledge. They said there is no starting point to the universe. So coming back to here, Hashem Elyon Nora. People say, okay, there's a first cause. It has nothing to do with me. And He doesn't pay attention to what I do. And He won't punish me if I go against His will. And He won't reward me if I do what He wants. He has nothing to do with what goes on planet Earth. Why do I have to respect Him, fear Him, honor Him, or behave according to His code of ethics? So He exists. Okay. So the sun exists. Do I behave the way the sun wants me to behave? There are forces in the world and they have nothing to do with me and I have nothing to do with them. I enjoy them, I don't enjoy them, but there's nothing personal. Ki Hashem Elyon, our recognition is that Hashem is above everything else, Nora. He is awesome vis-a-vis us. There's a connection. He is supposed to instill within us an awe of Him. Melech gadol al kol haaretz, and He is the great king over what goes on down here. Meaning the basic concept that we approach Rosh Hashanah with is the idea that there's a connection between me and Hashem. It's one of the scariest concepts of Rosh Hashanah. Imagine for a minute you're going to have an interview with this, what's the name of the head of North Korea? Okay, you're going to sit with him in a room and your father's not there with you. Your mother's not there with you. Your siblings, no one you know, just you and him. Scary. We come to Judgment Day on Rosh Hashanah and we say Hashem takes every person alone. Every person passes kivnei maron, like sheep going into a corral that the shepherd says, one second, let me see each sheep as I bring them back in. So Hashem says, Rosh Hashanah, you're starting a new year. We're going to have a conversation. Our tradition is that every soul has a moment, which is all it takes in heaven, right? Has their moment alone with Hashem on Rosh Hashanah. And in that moment, they have to give an accounting and they get a report of what's coming to them. So Rosh Hashanah is the time where we say there's Hashgacha Pratit. The essence of Rosh Hashanah is that we say Hashem's paying attention to what's going on here. The whole idea of Rosh Hashanah being a day that earth is judged is there, the judge cares. Hashem didn't just create a world. He cares how I behave. It matters to Him. I don't know why it matters to Him. That's a concept we don't understand, why Hashem would care. But if He says He cares, so we believe Him. And if He acts like He cares, so we have every reason to believe Him. So the nations come to a recognition that Hashem is an awesome king al kol haaretz, here on earth. It's not just, yes, there's this force out there that created the world, the first cause. No, the sons of Korach say, we look forward to a time when the nations will unite. They will unite because they'll recognize there is one force to whom they will sing. They will recognize that that force is awesome and he's relevant down here. He's not ignoring what's going on down here. Pasuk Dalet. Yadber Amim Tachteinu. We anticipate a time when the nations will recognize that they're supposed to take our lead, but we don't look to a time where we will be world leaders by force, but rather through ethical, moral supremacy. We do not believe the Jewish people will lead the world because we will be the most powerful people. We do believe we will lead the world because we anticipate a time that the world will say, that's God's values. What they're doing is the way God wants a person to live. And that's what Yadber Amim Techteinu. We, the sons of Korach, look forward in Psalms to a time when the nations are subservient to us. It doesn't mean we will have the power as a military power. It means ethically, morally, the nations will look up. Ulumim Tachat Ragleinu. The nations will say, if we want to understand the Torah, we can't do it alone. You take Torah. Anyone who tries to apply Torah without tradition ends up with a warped lifestyle. Throughout our history, people have tried to interpret Torah better than our tradition, and they don't end up with a peaceful, balanced life. One of the great gifts we have in Torah is our tradition. And so when the nations look up and say, okay, we want to learn from you, what does God want from us in this world? It's not only, what does the Torah say? It's also, explain to us what the Torah says. If you open up a Torah and you have no tradition, you end up with things that are very warped. The Torah says, cut off her hand. The Torah says, an eye for an eye. The Torah says a lot of things that our tradition says, don't read that literally. Right? So a person who would read the Torah without tradition ends up saying it says an eye for an eye. Right? And our tradition is that don't read it that way. It says those words, that's not what God meant. So the Torah was purposely given in a way that if you don't have the code, if you don't have the tradition, you're not going to be able to walk away with a balanced lifestyle. Yivchar lanu et nachalateinu. And here, the Pasuk is reiterating a concept that for almost two millennia seemed like a dream. The Pasuk says, the only way the Jewish people will be recognized as maintaining a supreme ethical value is when they're in the land of Israel. Now, if anyone would have said that 200 years ago, they would have told him he's crazy. The Jews will come back and rebuild the land of Israel. The Jews will come back and then will be recognized. Yivchar lanu et nachalateinu. Hashem will choose our lot. Initially, God chose Yaakov a ladder. And Yaakov wakes up from the dream and says, oh, here on this land that I'm leaving now is the gates to heaven. Yaakov, as he's leaving the land of Israel, recognizes, I'm leaving the gates to heaven now. He has to have that vision as he's leaving, right? And that's why the Pasuk says, Et Geon Yaakov Asher Ahev, the pride of Jacob that he loved, because Yaakov had to love the land of Israel from afar. The other patriarchs spent their lives here. Yaakov spent over two decades outside of Israel, yearning to come back, holding on to the dream he had just as he left Israel. Pasuk Vav. Thank you very much. Yes, Yadber means to make subservient.
No, I'm saying as in like the Yad versus the E.
I don't know enough grammar. Sorry, I don't know the answer.
For copy?
No, that's perfect. Mamash perfect, thank you. Very much so. Yeah, it's not. In Hebrew, you have one word, so in English, it's a concept. Back to our pasuk, pasuk vav. Ala Elohim bitua, Now he's going into details. When the nations will recognize they're supposed to be monotheists, they're supposed to adhere to the values of the Torah, so then the nations will unite and blow a shofar. Allah Elohim, Hashem, will be exalted through the blasts of the shofar. Should we go a little bit in depth here?
Yeah.
Okay. We have different names. In Tanakh, Hashem is called different names. And our tradition is that these names reflect the revelation. When Hashem reveals himself as exacting punishment, so then we have the term Elohim, the omnipotent one. When Hashem is showing his mercy, so then we have the tetragrammaton, which literally means one who gives existence to the world. It comes from the word hoveh, existent. So it has the active yud to the word existence, which means actively giving existence or sustenance to the world. So each name reflects a slightly different aspect of how Hashem reveals himself. So the Pasuk says, sometimes Hashem guides the world through the name Elohim. That we look at Hashem as a force. In other words, we see forces at play. We recognize that Hashem is the force behind them. So there have been terrible natural disasters in the United States. We say, it's God's hand. We don't say God zapped here and zapped there. We say, through nature, Hashem does things. So that's where Hashem is called Elohim, the force behind other forces. We don't say, oh, God took that wave and did bash, and took that wave and did the other bash. No, we say Hashem made a certain occurrence through natural forces. That's when we call Hashem Elohim. Sometimes we speak about Hashem with the tetragrammaton, which means it's very clear that he's giving existence to the world. Allah Elohim bitua. Hashem as the name Elohim, as the one who's the force behind forces, was exalted through the blast of the shofar. Hashem, the one who is recognized in things, in miracles that happen in the world, he was exalted b'kol shofar, with the voice of the shofar. Now, the shofar is two different things. The shofar is described as something that's blown as a sign of rejoicing. You blow a long blast, you're rejoicing. That's kol shofar. That's what we call a tkiyah. You blow a long blast, you're telling people pay attention, something's going on. That's kol shofar. But then you have the word trua. Trua is translated as a wail. Trua, when you go toot, 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 that's a warning. There's a problem. There's the staccato is telling you, hey, wake up. There's an issue here. There's an attack. It's a cry. And we blow both in the shofar. Allah Elohim, Hashem is exalted as the force behind forces, bitrua. When people wail, when people see natural disasters, when people see the hand of God, when they suddenly see forces they can't contend with, they look up. They look up and they look in awe. But they're looking in awe at the force behind forces, and they're not so happy with life. They're saying, God, you did this. You're the force behind all forces. Hashem. When do people look and say, I want to thank Hashem, the tetragrammaton, his kindness? That's b'kol shofar, the blast of the shofar, that's a celebration. When people say, this is an extraordinary miracle, how did we get out of this safely? How did that happen? They see the hand of God in a direct way in their life for the good. In both times, people recognize that Hashem's running the show. The pasuk continues, so the nations will look on both aspects, and they'll look and say, okay, Hashem's running the show, and we want to recognize him as king. Zameru Elohim, Zameru, sing in honor of Hashem. Sing, the nations will call to one another. Zameru le Malkeinu, Zameru. The nations will say, let's sing in honor of our king. That's different than saying Elohim, the force, rather our king. They'll say, let's sing in his honor. Now, this is supposed to be the next step after the Jews reunite in Israel. We're taught that there will be certain steps that have to happen. The first step is Jews have to come back to Israel and rebuild it. After Jews come back to Israel and rebuild it, then there are steps that have to follow. One of those steps is the nation's recognition that Hashem is running the show. It's not clear, at least to me, among the Midrashim, whether this will happen before a world war happens. Because the prophets do describe that after we return to Israel and we reunite here, there will be a resurgence of anti-Semitism, a unification of the forces of evil, and a world that unites against the Jews. The prophets spoke about the Jews coming back, and the prophets also spoke about a massive war. And the prophets spoke about us losing the war. The prophets spoke about us being in Israel and losing. And ultimately, you have different descriptions, and the question is, are they contradictory? The prophets also describe that Hashem will stand with one foot on the Mount of Olives, right? We read it, we're reading it now on Sukkot. And the Mount of Olives will crack as Hashem stands to defend his people, which, according to one interpretation, we will all gather into Jerusalem the way we did in the days of Sancheiriv. According to another interpretation, we will first lose the war and be exiled from Israel. We will have to undergo 7 months of exile, where the Jewish people, after returning to Israel, will not be able to hold on to it. That's a prophecy. Again, the question here is, are all the prophecies describing one outcome, or are the prophets telling us there are a few ways this can play itself out? Now it's up to you which way it's going to play itself out. Which our tradition is, according to most commentaries, it's up to us. The prophets were telling us it's going to be either A or B, and now it's up to you what you do with it. And that's how we behave. Rav Kook Zatzal, it's not well known, but Rav Kook wrote that when the Jewish people return to Israel under a secular state, the secular state will become a demon that will be self-consuming. Rav Kook wrote the word mifletzet. Mifletzet means a monster. The state will become a self-consuming monster unless it adopts the ways of the Torah. So long as the state denies the way of the Torah and remains a secular state, over time, the same state that was Zionistic and settled the land will become the state that will consume itself and destroy itself in the land. That's what Rav Kook wrote about our ascent to Israel. So we hope that we're not in that direction. It certainly seems like we're not in that direction. What we see is a very positive direction that things are going. We see people moving forward everywhere you look, things are moving in a positive direction in Israel. We notice the blips in the screen. We notice the Jews chased out of their homes in Gush Katif. We notice the things that are wrong. But we have to look at the overall picture, which is very, very right. And I beg you, take 2 minutes before Yom Kippur to listen to Netanyahu. In Israel, the prime minister gives a speech wishing the nation a good fast day before Yom Kippur. And listen to the way he talks, because I don't know what he's going to say this year, but previous years, his speeches were Mamasha Kiddush Hashem. They were sanctification of God's name. Whether he eats on Yom Kippur or not, I don't know. Whether he turns on lights or not, I don't know. But the speech he gives before Yom Kippur is a meaningful one. It's I've been impressed with it previous years. And again, I think it reflects on the direction of the state. I think we're in a positive direction. We merit to live in a time where things are going in the right direction. Yes?
At least there will be more Jews this year than Cook and Shabbat.
Okay, yes,
that? No, there's a big majority that keep Yom Kippur, like they don't eat, they don't fast.
The fact is also we are losing land, right? Since 1948, we're losing
land.
There are problems, and no one's denying that there are problems. I'm saying there are problems.
It's not a good sign, right? When you're losing land.
I don't know. I suggested earlier in the week that the book of Ezra and Nehemiah, it could be that part of their purpose is to encourage us at this time. Because in Ezra and Nehemiah, you see that they also came and had to take a few steps back before they took steps forward. So I'm not sure that our steps back, we've taken tremendous steps forward. We're much better off than they were in the days of Ezra. We have an army, he didn't have an army. We have most of the country, he didn't have most of the country. So in the days of Ezra, which was considered the rebuilding of the Second Temple, they were all around Jerusalem. And slowly they started having the rest of Israel. We started with a major state. We started with millions. He started with what? Ezra started with under 500,000. So I think we're well ahead of the Second Temple era. We have enemies in our midst. Look at the text. We have enemies in our midst. They also had enemies in their midst. They weren't stronger than their enemies. We are. They were only here by the kindness of the Persian Empire. We're here. We get help from the United States. We get help from countries. But I don't think we're anywhere near the dire state they were in the days of the Second Temple period. I think we're much better off. We're not where King David and King Solomon were. We don't have that moral sovereignty. Our leaders think they have to answer to the United Nations. King David and King Solomon didn't think so. They had at least a moral sovereignty, which, Bezrat Hashem, we will regain. Yes, I just want to make sure we're not missing our pizza man. Yeah.
So you have the Zameru. So,
Yeah.
What is exactly that mean?
Something is sometimes repeated in Tanakh to illustrate that it will be a constant.
Constant once it starts to happen.
Right. Once it starts, it'll keep going.
I just realized it's four times and it's also the four main cuts of the game.
Very nice.
And also in our time, which is. Which, of course, is true, but we also gave back Sinai and Gaza.
For sure.
Which is also quite correct.
Yeah, that's what I said. We have the blips on the screen. But you can't deny all the positive that's going on here. We never had so much Torah being learned in the state of Israel. From the days of the first temple, you never had such a level of observance in Israel. And we keep moving forward. It keeps getting better.
Say this to an extent, this theme right here. When you look at, say, in America, the four-fifths of the Jews, they're going to assimilate, right? When you look at a lot of the negatives amongst the nation, right? How much do we count on in tipping the scales and trying to bring things towards a positive conclusion? Like, how much can the minority like us, how much are we really pushing back to push things forward in comparison, you know?
The way the statistics are going, this decade, the majority of the Jews will be in the state of Israel. Meaning the way our numbers are going, unfortunately, in the sense that it's a product of intermarriage, but saying we're, if the graph continues the way it's been, within the next 10 years, we're supposed to hit a point where the majority of Jews are here. We're so close to it. So I don't think you can call us a minority. We're almost at a majority. There's a problem. There's definitely a problem. It's what we call the silent Holocaust. There's no one's denying that. We're facing a certain challenge. I think that, to some degree, reiterates the importance of what Machon Meir is doing. Machon Meir and the like. You know, but it's a drop in the bucket. What do we have here? 800 students, 600 students, how many? 400 students, I'm not sure what our numbers are this year. There are times there were 600 at Mahon. Let's say we're 800, okay? I think we're 400. Let's say we're 800, but we're talking about 100,000. I mean, we're talking about numbers that are way larger. Everyone does what they can. We're doing the web, you know. We're trying. It's a good question. I'm not sure what we can do. That's the idea of Shabbat across America. That's the idea that the Rebbe of Chabad tried to promote. The giants of the Jewish people saw this coming. That was the idea that Rabbi Feinstein told all his students they have to be community rabbis. The Rebbe of Chabad told all his Hasidim you have to go out to all the different communities and try to bring people back. Rav Shach said after the Holocaust, every Jew has to learn in yeshiva. Once upon a time, one person from a village learned in yeshiva. Now everyone has to go to Kollel. Everyone's trying to counter the trend that's been the trend for the last century. It's really from before the Holocaust. I mean, it dates back to the Haskalah. And then after the Holocaust, so you have, you know, we're still trying to get back up from that blow. At the end of the day, you're right. We definitely face a challenge internationally with intermarriage, yes. Yes?
But in Israel, in Israel, the last couple of years, the kids starting school, has been more religious kids than non-religious kids. Meaning, it's up to us. If we teach our children right and make them to like Torah and not go away from the Torah, then in the next 15, 18 years, there's going to be more religious Jews than non-religious Jews. It's up to us.
What we could do. You're not held accountable for what you can't affect. Our job is to affect what we can affect.
They've done this Arevim Zele Zele one time. You have the biggest tzaddik in the world is affected by the biggest rasha in the world, and vice versa. But the difference is when that tzaddik comes to pray, he says B'shem Kol Yisrael. So his impact is much, much higher than the guy that goes and sins, and he's thinking about himself. Every time a Jew prays, every time any religious person does something, at least a few times a day, they say B'shem Kol Yisrael. So it has a much higher effect, even if he's the Yes,
but I think it's something in your lifetime you can affect your children that the majority of Israel that's going to vote and affect things in Israel are going to be religious, unless they're going to say religious people cannot vote.
Okay. We're moving forward. Pasuk Chet. So the psalm has been describing a time that the nations will come to a recognition that Hashem is the king, and then the nations will say, let's sing in his honor. And we said this is what's read just before we declare Hashem's kingship with the Tkiat Shofar. We read this psalm 7 times that we anticipate the nations to join us one day, and we move on. Pasuk Chet. Ki melech kol ha'aretz elokim zameru maskil. The psalm tells people, I want your song to be maskil. I want your song to be an educated one. We're not interested in dummy followers. Ki melech kol ha'aretz elokim, because the king over all of earth is Hashem, zameru maskil. But I want you to sing, says the psalm, out of understanding. Zameru, give song, maskil, from education, from knowledge, from understanding. Malach elokim al goyim. Until now, the psalm had been describing the initiation, the beginning of Hashem being recognized as king over the world. Now the psalm describes how once Hashem is recognized as king, there will be a continuum. It won't stop. Malach Elokim al Goyim. Hashem has already been accepted as king over the nations. Elokim Yashav al Kisei Kodesho. Hashem sits on his holy throne, and that's the idea that people will recognize Hashem. Perhaps we should invoke what the Rosh says, that Hashem's throne is Jerusalem. And this is the idea that in prophets until now it says that Hashamayim Kisi, Hashem's throne is the heavens. Right now we live in a time where you want to see God, You look to nature, you look to the solar system, you look to massive things in the universe, and you say, wow, there's a force there that's much bigger than me. Billions of people have been walking through this planet. Generation comes, generation goes. I'm here, but, you know, at some point I won't be here. There have been billions before me. There'll be billions after me. There's a force here that's greater than me. That's Hashem's throne is on the heavens. You look at massive things and you recognize, okay, there's a God. Here, Yashav al Kisei Kocho, Hashem will sit on his holy throne, which is a reference to Jerusalem, the idea that people will see Hashem within their lives, not just as a massive force that's external, but rather something personal, something that's going on. That is our pizza. We have one more pasuk. Okay, let's see if he's giving us 3 minutes or he's here. Shalom. One point that I don't understand, and I don't know, it's been bothering me for many years. In Daniel's vision, in the vision that Nebuchadnezzar sees, what Nebuchadnezzar sees is that ultimately there'll be this king that his kingdom will be eternal and everyone will recognize him and value him. Mashiach. And that's Mashiach. And it always bothered me why that's Mashiach and not Hashem. Meaning the ultimate king is Hashem.
But Rav, did Hashem say there's no human being can see me and be alive?
Okay.
So we cannot see Hashem.
You're saying Hashem will have a representative?
Yeah.
That's a whole different interpretation to this psalm. If you want to say, I don't think that's what this psalm means. As much as he wants. I leave it to his judgment. Nidive Amim. Elioe, we trust him. Whatever he gives is good.
How you can rule the whole world without? In the time of the judges, we didn't have a king.
I hear you.
But it was only the Jewish nation, a different level. How can you rule the whole world without a Messiah, a king, or something?
I could answer, but if it doesn't say it in the commentaries, why should I answer? Let's leave it as a question. I don't know. Right? It's been bothering me many years. Nidive Yamim Ne'esafu. The volunteers of the nations have gathered. Who are the volunteers of the nations? So the psalm is talking about those people who came of their own volition to convert and said, I want to be a part of these people. And the Navi gives them a special name, the volunteers of the nations, the people who volunteered themselves and said, I want to be a part of this. And they are called the nation of the God of Avram. They get a special title. They're part of the people of Israel. They're called a special nation. The nation of the God of Avram, who was the first convert, right? Avram broke away from his families and came to convert. Ki le'elohim maginei eretz me'od na'ala. The conclusion of the song is Nedivei Amim Ne'esafu. Nedivei Amim, those who volunteered themselves among the nations, they gathered Ki le'elohim maginei eretz, because everyone will recognize that Hashem likes the people who are, so to speak, the shields of the earth. They give some concept of defense. Not everyone was on the other side of the fence. Not everyone stayed away from the Jewish people throughout their history. There were those who said, I want to be a part of this. And then Me'od Na'ala, at that time, Hashem will be greatly exalted. All the nations will want to convert, and then we won't accept them. At that time, the nations will be allowed to follow. They'll be allowed to unite. They won't be allowed to convert. The door for conversion is supposed to close. there is a time where our tradition is that people will want to, they're going to say, I want to be a part of this, and the answer will be, you can be a part of the nations that are uniting and recognizing Hashem as one, and they want to learn the ways of the Torah, but they remain the nations. And so the defense of the earth, so to speak, are those who did not wait for that time, but rather they took the step forward and they said, we want in. And that's what the psalm concludes with and says, when Hashem will be the eternal king, it's as though Hashem will say, I want their song. There's the nation song, there's the Jewish people song, and then there's that special nation song. The people who are called the nations of the God of Avram, the people who are, so to speak, the shields of the earth, the people who say, not everyone here waited until now to unite and recognize you, Hashem. We took the step forward beforehand, and me'od na'ala, we recognize that Hashem is so awesome before everything was revealed to everyone. We took the step on our own. And it's interesting that that's the conclusion of this psalm. The sons of Korach conclude with that. How great is Hashem? These people are the ones who can declare how great is Hashem. There's this challenge, and that's what Rav Harlap speaks about over and over again. When you're born Jewish, you have a certain challenge. Yeah, it's obvious. You don't get so excited. When you get excited to the point where you say, I want in, you can bring strengths and insights that no one else can. That's the story of Yisro. That's the story of Ruth. That there's a light that cannot shine from within. It has to shine from without. And it's interesting that that's the conclusion of the psalm. The psalm that began with an anticipation of world peace, world unity, not through wars, through values, concludes with the people who took the first steps in that direction. They're the ones who conclude with Ma'od Na'ala, how exalted is Hashem.